And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. More than a year after Cook Inlet's largest oil and gas producer warned of a looming natural gas shortfall, consultants released a report last week detailing possible ways to fill in the gap. One option is importing gas overseas in the short term and from the North Slope in the longer term. As KDLL's Sabine Poo reports, those options will all come with higher price tags, but with contracts running out, utilities don't have much of a choice.
Lisa Wilcox presented the report to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. She's a project manager with Berkeley Research Group. She says she's not as concerned about the long-term picture for utilities, since she thinks Alaska could import liquefied natural gas at a reasonable price from the world market.
But it's short to medium term that I think we're all concerned about.
The gas supply report was commissioned by natural gas utility NSTAR and a working group of Alaska utilities from Homer to Fairbanks, which get the vast majority of their power supply from Cook Inlet natural gas. But that available supply is running out. Last year, the primary producer, Hilcorp, said it couldn't guarantee future contracts with utilities. And now, despite decades of warning and previous close calls, demand for gas could outstrip supply in as few as 4 years. Wilcox says utilities will need to find new sources of gas from a mix of places. She says the first option would be to attract more investment in Cook Inlet, but with little interest there from producers, that option likely can't satisfy long-term needs. Another preferred alternative outlined in the report is to import natural gas from overseas. That could start as soon as 2028. And another would be to bring gas down from the North Slope with an in-state pipeline, which the report says would only be cost-effective with state subsidies. That pipeline wouldn't be ready until 2030 at the earliest, the report says. In all cases, costs will go up for Alaska ratepayers, who already see some of the highest energy costs in the country. The in-state pipeline could more than double gas costs for consumers.
Well, and unfortunately, in this case, as you can see, the cost of transportation for this level of demand on a privately owned project and privately modeled project is very significant and higher than many of the other options.
The cheapest gas option outlined in the report would come from the big Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Export Project, which would ship gas down from the North Slope for use in state and export overseas. AKLNG has been decades in the making and has long stalled due to high costs. Wilcox, the consultant, was formerly a vice president of the company that's overseeing the project. Ben Becker is with the Alaska Public Interest Research Group. He says he worries about the state committing to big projects like a pipeline.
And if the state is going to be subsidizing energy, I think it makes less sense to subsidize projects that prolong our dependence on gas instead of energy projects that make us less dependent on gas, more energy independent with a more diverse grid.
The report accounts for alternative gas supply options only. As a natural gas utility, NSTAR doesn't have many more options to diversify its portfolio. But renewables advocates say electric utilities need to start ramping up their renewable portfolios as solar and wind projects become cost competitive with natural gas. Becker says he wants to see more analysis of how renewables could reduce Alaska's demand for gas in the future.
There are long-term solutions that would really double down on our gas dependence and others that would reduce it.
The report was the first from the consulting group. Wilcox says the next report will hone in on a shorter list of local gas replacement options. She says a decision on at least one alternative could be made by the end of 2023. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Last year, Alaskans lost millions of dollars due to cybercrime, and the rise of artificial intelligence can make the problem worse. KYUK's Francisco Martinez-Cuello checked in with the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center to find out more about how Alaskans can avoid falling victim to this type of theft.
Last year, more than 1,600 Alaskans were victims of internet crime, according to FBI data. They were disproportionately elderly, and they reported losses of more than $17 million. Brandon Waddell with the FBI's Anchorage office says the top three crimes people reported were tech support scams, extortion, and personal data breaches.
As far as personal data breaches, you know, I'm speaking more about leaks or spillage of personal data released from secure locations to untrusted environments, or a security incident in which an individual's sensitive, protected, or confidential data is copied, transmitted, viewed, stolen, or used by unauthorized individuals.
Also high on the list, romance scams.
And by romance scams, we're talking sort of generically people engaging in online romance with people in Alaska and never meeting in person, but scamming those people out of money to support their lifestyle outside of Alaska. Or it could be inside of Alaska, but they never meet in person.
Waddle says that this data is probably an undercount. That is, people may not be reporting every time they're scammed.
It's an embarrassing situation for people, and they don't always report it to us. So while this gives us a good foundation, it only represents a portion of what is actually out there.
There are a lot of ways to reduce the risk of being scammed online. The first is common sense.
I think it is true, the old saying, if something looks too good to be true, you know, it probably is, especially when it comes to internet fraud.
Waddle calls the practice of keeping yourself safe online cyber hygiene. It's when you install antivirus software and keep it updated along with your computer's operating system. To go even further, Waddle says it's important to recognize scam attempts early, but do not engage with the scammer. He says that people should resist the pressure to act quickly. Scammers create a sense of urgency to produce fear to lure victims into immediate action.
I'm sure that you're familiar, and hopefully your listening audience is familiar, with the common scam where you're called by a scammer and they tell you that you have a loved one who is in jail and they need bail money, and they pressure you to act quickly to send them money. That's a common scam that we see a lot.
Waddle also warns of unsolicited phone calls, mailings, and door-to-door service offers. He recommends not sending personally identifiable information or money, jewelry, and gift cards to people. And he says be wary of clicking on email attachments.
Think before you link is sort of a thing that we developed here in the FBI several years ago to keep people from linking with individuals they don't know that could potentially be scammers on LinkedIn or on Facebook.
With the rise of artificial intelligence and machine learning tools online and people who have access to them, these scams are likely to happen more often, and they'll probably get more sophisticated too. For example, in a recent IC3 public service announcement released earlier this month, the FBI warns the public that there are people creating synthetic content, better known as deepfakes. It's where malicious actors change or alter benign photos or videos to target victims. Technology advancements are continuously improving the quality and accessibility of artificial intelligence-enabled content creation. The public service announcement says the FBI continues to receive reports from victims, including minor children and non-consenting adults, whose photos or videos were altered into explicit content. The photos or videos are then publicly circulated on social media or pornographic websites for the purposes of harassing victims or sextortion schemes. Waddle says it's also important to report to his office if you are a victim of cybercrime.
It's basically a self-explanatory process. You walk your way through reporting a crime. You leave your name, the details of the crime, and this database gives the public a reliable and convenient mechanism to report these internet crimes.
The FBI will analyze and share the information from complaints to the right agency, because other agencies could be involved, such as Homeland Security or others, or even local law enforcement.
I think it's important to know that if it's happening in rural Alaska, it's probably happening in other places in America.
Waddle says the more reports they get, even from communities off the road system, the more trends they can see in the data, and that can help law enforcement chase down cyber criminals. In Bethel, I'm Francisco Martinez-Cuello.
New data shows that Alaska is making progress on the state's food stamps backlog. Families that rely on food stamps have to have their income certified on a regular basis to qualify for aid. But earlier this year, there were major delays. In March, only 4% of income certifications were done on time. But the most recent data from the Division of Public Assistance shows a rebound. Now, nearly half of the certifications are processed within a month. That's an improvement, but many families are still waiting. The slow pace can be attributed to the massive backlog of recertifications that started piling up last fall and grew through the winter and spring. Many families who already qualified for food stamps experienced a lapse in their coverage when their income could not be recertified in time. The state is focused on managing that backlog and processing the expedited applications, which are for families in the most dire need. New applicants could still face long delays. To smooth out the process in the future, the state will introduce an online application for food stamps by the end of the year. Most states already use an online system. The division also has a new cohort of about 15 hires that will soon be trained.